Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grizz Weekly Grind, a proud affiliate of the Basketball Podcast Network. I'm Pete Pranica, TV voice of the Memphis Grizzlies and your host for the program. This is episode 20 of season 2 of the Grizz Weekly Grind, and a big show for you because the Grizzlies continue their winning streak. They've now won a franchise record 9 in a row, that franchise record for a winning streak within a single season. Grizzlies actually have won, once upon a time, 11 in a row, but that bridged two seasons. So a single season winning streak of 9, that's a new franchise record. We'll talk about that in That Was the Week That Was. We also have Brevin Knight as our friend of the program. We're going to break it all down and answer some of your questions, which you submitted on Twitter. Really looking forward to that great conversation with Brevin, as we are both greatly relieved to be out of COVID jail, more or less, and able to call games again. So we got all that coming up and some Petey's points as per usual. And today's show being brought to you today by the Youth Athletic Foundation, its mission to assist student athletes in developing a strong work ethic through discipline, responsibility, and accountability. Their goal? Help youngsters understand the importance of working hard to be the very best they can be, whether that is on the court or in the classroom or in the community. The YAF has donated millions of dollars to charities, families, local high schools, and youth sports programs. Thanks to Ernie Kuiper and Mike Miller for all the great work they have done with the Youth Athletic Foundation. So the Grizzlies, they are now 28-14 on the season as we have passed the midway point of this NBA season. And we'll recap the last couple games in That Was the Week That Was. So the Grizzlies, after beating up on the Detroit Pistons, go west, and they're going to take on the Clippers and the Lakers in back-to-back games. A matinee on Saturday and a night game on Sunday. Grizzlies 2-0 against the Clippers already, and the Clippers came out smoking, particularly from the three-point line. Marcus Morris with 13 first-quarter points, 3 of 3 from 3, and the Clippers made 6 triples in the first quarter, and they led it 36-28 after one quarter. Grizzlies got 8 from Tyus Jones. Just to circle back very quickly to update you, Steven Adams, not available for this game. He goes into health and safety protocols. And also Ja Morant with a sore thigh was not going to play in this game. Grizzlies trail 36-28 after one quarter. Second quarter, Grizzlies start to hit their stride, particularly defensively. They forced 6 turnovers for 11 points from the Clippers in the second quarter. The only issue here, Dylan Brooks goes down with a left ankle injury, looked to be a bad turn. He immediately went to the locker room. We knew that he was not coming back. Jaren Jackson Jr., big second quarter, 10 of his 17 first half points coming in the second period. Brandon Clark coming in, all 8 of his points at halftime coming in the second quarter. Meanwhile, Marcus Morris was limited to just 2 in the period. Grizzlies take a 66-56 lead into the locker room. Grizzlies would kind of hold their own in the third quarter, and through 3 it was 94-85 Grizzlies with the lead in this one. Through 3 quarters, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. with 21 apiece. Jaren, just a fantastic game from him. Grizzlies would end up winning this game 123-108. They would limit the Clippers to just 41% shooting and 31% from 3. Grizzlies, even without Steven Adams, dominated on the glass, 56-49, the rebounding numbers. And the Grizzlies, 16 offensive rebounds, 21 second-chance points. Grizzlies would lead by as many as 25. I should also mention that the Grizzlies came from 12 down in this game in the second quarter, and they go on to win it 123-108. The Grizzlies now lead the league in rallies from double-digit deficits to win games. Jaren Jackson Jr., 26 points, 8 boards, and 5 blocks for him. Desmond Bane, 23, and Brandon Clark with 18 and 15 rebounds off the bench to go along with 3 block shots. So the Grizzlies get to 27-14, and oh, by the way, Taylor Jenkins entering health and safety protocols. And so Brad Jones filling in as Darko Rajakovic. He's also on the COVID list, so he's not available. So it's certainly next person up for the Grizzlies when it comes to their coaching staff and pretty much everybody else. Grizzlies over the Clippers, 123-108. Grizzlies clinch the season series. They have won all 3 over the Clippers. Clippers will be back in Memphis in February for the 4th and final meeting between these two teams. Now, That brings us to Sunday night's game. Grizzlies get Ja Morant back. Taylor Jenkins, obviously, still in protocols, along with Steven Adams. Grizzlies also get back Xavier Tillman, John Conchar from health and safety protocols. Kyle Anderson is back from a bad back. Kyle starts alongside Zaire Williams, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bain, and Ja Morant. Lakers, like the Clippers the day before, came out on fire from three. And LeBron James, trying to be a tone setter, which he's still, for my money, he's the best player on the planet. 12 points in the first quarter, 5 of 7 from the floor, and also had 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Having said that, the Grizzlies go up against one of the better fast-breaking teams in the NBA. Grizzlies, 8 fast-break points in the first quarter, none for the Lakers. Grizzlies, very balanced scoring. John Conchar comes in, hasn't played in maybe half a dozen games, and immediately hits 2 threes. He had 6 in the first quarter. Jaren Jackson Jr. coming up with 7 points, 5 boards in the first quarter. Second quarter, the Grizzlies start to pull away. They hit 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. Desmond Bane with 10 in the period, 7 each in the period from Zaire Williams and Jaren Jackson Jr. LeBron continues to score. He's got 23 at halftime. But other than that, the next highest scorer for the Lakers is Talen Horton Tucker. He has 8 off the bench. Grizzlies lead by 13 at intermission, 65-52. You thought the 38-point second quarter is pretty good? Wait till you get to the third quarter. Grizzlies put up 42 points in the third quarter. It is their highest scoring quarter this season. And the Grizzlies, well, they continued to shoot very well. And they go on and they lead it through three quarters, 107-283, leading by as many as 29 points. Grizzlies, look, they lead the league at about 55 paint points per game. They had 52 through three quarters. And through three quarters, LeBron James is still the only Laker in double figures. He has 32. Now, I beg your pardon. Talen Horton Tucker has 11 off the bench. No other Laker starter is in double figures. Russell Westbrook, 2 for 12. Avery Bradley, 2 for 10. Malik Monk, 3 for 11. Laker starters give them practically nothing. And remember, this was a Laker team that had won 4 in a row. You know, every once in a while, people criticize me for waiting too long to call hammer, nail, coffin on a game. Grizzlies were up 29. Shouldn't I say it? You wait till the very end because I was thinking about it with about 7.5 minutes. And I thought, we get under 5 minutes and maybe I'll pull the trigger on it. Well, then Frank Vogel basically clears his bench. And the Laker bench goes absolutely berserk. 16 points from Austin Reeves. 16 points from Wayne Ellington. And Ellington had barely seen the floor. In fact, he hadn't seen the floor through the first three quarters. Ellington with a 16-point quarter. And all of a sudden, this thing's getting kind of tight. And the Grizzlies hold on for dear life. 127-119, the final in this one. Jaren Jackson Jr., a season-high 6 blocks. Second double-double of the season, 21-12 for him. Ja Morant, a fairly pedestrian night with 16 points, 7 assists. But he had the block of the year, a two-handed takeaway of Avery Bradley's layup attempt in the first half. Morant, not, like I said, just kind of a pedestrian night, but you know what? The Grizzlies get the win because they get 14 off the bench from Brandon Clark. John Conchar, welcome back to the lineup, Jitty. 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, and he finished with 12 points. Grizzlies shoot 54% against the Lakers, and they win it 127-119. Grizzlies take the season series 3-1 from the Lakers, and the Grizzlies 28-14. Taylor Jenkins, he's credited with his 100th win, even though he wasn't on the bench. He was back at the hotel in downtown L.A., presumably watching on television. Unfortunately, probably didn't have access to our telecast, which I'm a little perturbed by, but it's understandable since he was in Los Angeles at the time. Lakers see their 4-game winning streak come to a close. They're now 21-20, Grizzlies 28-14, and the Grizzlies getting ready for a 4-game homestand, and it might be one of the more exciting weeks of Grizzlies basketball in recent history, because on Tuesday night, you get a Golden State team, which, enough said, it's Grizzlies Golden State. It's going to be a good game. Klay Thompson will be his 2nd game back. First visit for the Warriors to Memphis this year. And then you have Minnesota coming in on Thursday, Dallas on Friday, and then you have the MLK Day game against Chicago, 2:30 on Monday afternoon, MLK Day. And Chicago had the longest winning streak in the league until they got beat by Dallas on Sunday. So two teams that are really peaking, playing good basketball right now, and that should be a fantastic, fantastic game next Monday. So see if the Grizzlies can keep it up, even though, like I said, it's been a change. You never know who you're going to get on any given night. Ja doesn't play on Saturday, plays on Sunday. Brad Jones coaches a couple of games. He's 3-0 filling in for Taylor Jenkins. So good stuff for him. And that was the week that was. All right, let's get to some Petey's points now. I just alluded to it. Next man up. It's the phrase has become almost tired and has become a cliche, but it's true. The Grizzlies, whether it's been players, whether it's been support staff, whether it's been coaches, it's somebody, or broadcasters, somebody has been stepping into the breach and handling their business. And it's really been remarkable that the Grizzlies have won 9 straight, and this has probably been the roughest period of COVID that we've seen this season for this team. Other teams have had really bad stretches. Brooklyn's had a bad stretch. Washington has had a bad stretch. Utah has not. Utah now is starting to get into the teeth of it, losing players to COVID protocols. But through it all, the Grizzlies have won 9 straight with a revolving door and, you know, starting Killian Tilly and starting Zaire Williams and starting John Conchar and just having a rotating door. It doesn't matter. The Grizzlies have just continued to stay true to their identity no matter who's been on the floor. Everybody's been a contributor, and it's been fantastic. Really, really good to see. Petey's point number 2, I think the Grizzlies got under LeBron's skin a little bit. And, you know, LeBron telling the Grizzlies, hey, don't talk so much. You know what? Look, as Jim Rome would say, scoreboard. Look at the scoreboard, LeBron. You're scoring a ton of points. Russell Westbrook isn't. Guess who's winning right now? Guess who won the season series? I mean, LeBron is fantastic. And after the game, he did give his props to Ja Morant, particularly for the block of Avery Bradley. But the bottom line is, look, the Grizzlies are going to talk. They're going to play with an edge. Why not? You're 28-14, and you walk into L.A., and you handle your business against a Laker team that was starting to think that they had figured some things out. Apparently not. Brings me to the third point, and the reason that the Grizzlies are able to do this, and I mentioned this on the broadcast Sunday night. I said the Grizzlies have gotten to a point now where you respect everybody, but you fear no one. You respect LeBron James. You don't fear LeBron James. You know he's the best player on the planet, but that doesn't mean that you run away from him or you are somehow afraid of him, afraid to confront him, afraid to go at him, afraid to get under his skin a little bit, which I think Desmond Bain did, which is a Desmond Bain specialty. And that's how you have to approach this. And this is a young team, and I know that LeBron James and probably others around the league, there was supposedly some league executive or team executive said, well, the Grizzlies talk, you know, too much junk. I don't know. You're 28-14. You're playing really good basketball. There's no point in being quiet as a church mouse. Grizzlies are playing with an edge. They're respecting everybody, okay? But they're playing really, really well. So if they want to talk, let them talk. Like I said, just look at the scoreboard, and that tells you the entire story. Petey's point number 4, Lakers right now, this team, and Brevin and I are going to talk about this in the Friend of the Program segment coming up. This is Lakers team that I just, this roster doesn't fit. This thing is not working. And trading away Rajon Rondo really, really doesn't do anything for you. It's a team that wants to play really, really fast. They're playing small right now. Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan didn't come into the game until it was essentially settled, or at least appeared to be settled, in the third and fourth quarters. This is just an oddly coached team. I don't understand necessarily what they're trying to do. They're trying to play fast. They're the oldest team in the NBA. It just it just is really, really strange. And I don't know what Frank Vogel is doing there, but I don't know. It's not the Grizzlies' problem. Grizzlies took 3 of 4 from the Lakers, and if Ja makes all 3 free throws in the first meeting, maybe they sweep the season series. Who knows? Finally, and this is a really, really minor point, and I'm going to take you behind the curtain a little bit. I think those of you who have followed the NBA know that the Lakers have one of the most longest tenured and well-respected public address announcers in Lawrence Tanter. Lawrence Tanter has amazing pipes, very well-known disc jockey in the Los Angeles area. And the Lakers always have, they do something that no other team does. And they have their public address announcer tell the crowd at Staples Center who is broadcasting the game. So pregame, Lawrence Tanter will say, "And broadcasting the game back to the Memphis area on Bally Sports Southeast, Pete Pranica, Brevin Knight, and Rob Fisher," or words to that effect. And for years, he has been mispronouncing Eric Hasseltine's name. So from Lawrence Tanter, you will get, "And broadcasting the game back to the Memphis area, Eric Hasseltine," which it's become an inside joke. And for those of us in the travel party, a lot of times we just call him Hasseltine, which obviously it's not his name. But this is the thing, and like I said, it's a minor thing, but it bugs the heck out of me. Lawrence Tanter, you're the public address announcer. Find out the correct pronunciation of people's names, okay? Now, for the radio announcer, it's really not that, it's not that big a thing. You know, and like I said, we've had fun with it. Of course, Hasseltine, how do you get Hasseltine out of Hasseltine? There's no Z in there. And in any event. So we were doing the game remotely last night from FedEx Forum, but we can hear the audio coming over from Crypto.com Arena. And I hear Lawrence Tanter introducing the Grizzlies coaching staff. The Grizzlies have a coach, Blake Ahern. It comes out Blake Ahern. Really? A-H-E-R-N? It's Ahern. Everybody knows this. Blake Ahern has been in the league for a number of years. How do you not know this? Or do you not care enough to get somebody's name pronounced correctly? Like I said, Lawrence Tanter, great respect, been there forever. But that's like the first thing you learn in broadcasting. Find out how to pronounce somebody's name. It's one of the most fundamental and most basic things. But I guess when you're with the Lakers, you don't have to worry about those things. Mispronounce somebody's name, who cares? We're the Lakers. So, like I said, I don't mean to be petty about it, but it's like, come on. This is really, really simple. Find out how to pronounce somebody's name. Ask the question. They're there at courtside. Our PR director is there at courtside. Go ahead and ask, how do I pronounce this person's name? But again, it's the Lakers. I feel better now that I've gotten that off my chest. I'm not trying to be petty. It's just the Hasseltine thing has been funny and continues to be an inside joke. The Ahern, just, I can't believe that. Now, I know Blake Ahern only played maybe about 20 games in the NBA. He played primarily in the developmental league and played overseas, but he's been a coach. He's been in the league, and yet his name is mispronounced. All right, enough of that. Before we get to our friend of the program, Brevin Knight, we tell you that today's show is being brought to you today by DraftKings Sportsbook. Hey, hockey fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, which as you well know is an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot gets into the net. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game, and you get $100 in free bets if either team scores. Now, you hockey heads know that the NHL got rid of ties in 2005, right? So there are no ties at all, let alone a 0-0 tie. So you know somebody's going to light the lamp. Might be, oh, I don't know, in regulation, could be in overtime, could be in a shootout, but there's a puck going into the net. Now, if Sportsbook is not available in your state yet, no worries, because everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their very first deposit. So, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TBPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Great Monday morning for a conversation with one of my best friends in the world, and he also happens to be my broadcast partner, Brevin Knight. He's our friend of the program. Brevin, it is Monday morning. It is sunny in Memphis. The Grizzlies, a 2-0 road trip, a beatdown of the Lakers. The only fly in the ointment this morning, Brevin, is it's too cold to play golf. But other than that, it's a spectacular morning, right?
Oh, it is a glorious morning to be able to get up, see the sun shining after that great win. And the special feeling that the team has shown in these games has just started to cross over to us having the same really good feeling about everything.
Yeah, because we're out of isolation. I mean, it wasn't easy for either of us. I had it maybe a little bit better because I lived by myself. I had the whole house to myself. You had a little bit of a bigger struggle. I know one of the things that our fans are asking us on Twitter today is, okay, so what was isolation like? I know that it wasn't a whole lot of fun. Did you binge watch anything while you were cooped up in the room?
Yeah, man, I watched more movies than I've ever watched in my life. I'm not a real big movie person. I'm more of a TV series person. And I've run through so many different movies. I've gone back different strokes. I've watched seasons of different strokes. All of my Chicago, Med, PD, and Fire all done. And Madam Secretary, I'm on to season 4 or 5 of her. I mean, listen, I got it all for you because as you had the house to roam, I had a bedroom to roam around it. And so it's a relief to be able to say, you know what, I can join society again.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel good that you can actually go out and this has been a weird year in any number of ways. What was your biggest takeaway from the game against the Lakers? Because again, it's a 27-27 game after one quarter, and then all of a sudden the Grizzlies just run away with it.
I think we're watching it. We're watching this team grow up in front of our eyes, partner. Is the biggest takeaway that I get, because we always say you like to have barometers as you go through the season to see where you are. And we thought if we go back to the West Coast trip, we played the Warriors first, and then went down to LA. It was the Warriors. When we played them, and then we went to Sacramento, take that back. The Warriors game, they lost. But we said there was something in that game that was different. You could see that they were turning a corner to become a consistent basketball team. And since then, they have just become one of the better teams on both ends of the floor. You look at now, I think they'll be in the top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency. And because of that, the wins have come. But the other thing that I like, and I said this, I wrote it in a tweet, was to be able to watch a young basketball team have a physical mindset. It's almost the same as the grit and grind mindset in terms of physicality. We're going to be physical with you, but the way that they can play with the speed, the athleticism, the highlight plays, the camaraderie, the list goes on and on of these positives. And what has happened is you start to look to the negative list. That list is very, very short in terms of what they can't do. And so it's just, I think the my biggest takeaway is they have grown every step of the way from the beginning of the year to when Morant went out to with him coming back and them continuing to take off from there. It's just been, it's been pleasing to someone who is a basketball enthusiast. I'm not an individual player enthusiast. I am a basketball enthusiast, and especially when it comes to teams. I love to see great individual play within the team concept, and I think they've done a great job of combining that.
Well, I put out on Twitter that we were going to record this, and I asked people for questions. And our good friends Deb and Garnett West wanted to know, do you have a sense of how exactly this chemistry and this good feeling and this growth has been created in short order?
Well, number one, they like each other. Number two, they speak each other's language, with them all being around the same age, enjoying the same similar lifestyles to one another. And when you can combine, I can only equate this to going through it myself, being in Cleveland. We went to Cleveland, four rookies, and Sean Kemp was how we played. And we had a successful year. I always said we won 10 in a row that season. And how we did it was because we, as close as we were off of the floor, as much hanging out, that transferred to the floor. Sometimes you have teams that are good off the floor. They like each other. But once it gets on the floor, the agendas aren't all the same. The agendas are all the same with this young squad. And I think that is why it's been able to come together so quickly.
Let's talk about agendas a little bit, but through the prism of the Los Angeles Lakers. I know that they had won four in a row, but they had beaten Sacramento, Atlanta, Minnesota, and Portland. This is not exactly murderer's row.
Right.
I was taken aback by how poorly the Lakers, outside of LeBron James and Wayne Ellington late, I was really surprised by how poorly they played against the Grizzlies. You would have thought, like, okay, we won four in a row. We think we're figuring some things out. Yeah, we haven't beaten very good teams, but here comes a Memphis team that beat us twice in their building. I would have thought the Lakers would have come out, and with a day of rest, which the Grizzlies did not have, I would have thought that the Lakers would have played better than they did last night. Are the Lakers as dysfunctional as they appeared to be last night?
At this moment, the Lakers just aren't better than the Grizzlies. Do they, if you want to go by names of the people that they have on their team, okay, their names may be bigger names, but they're not a better team. And we saw it even in the game that the Grizzlies lost to them in L.A. the first time. It was still neck and neck. It just came down to the end. They were able to get that win. But every game has been a competitive game, even when the Lakers have tried to throw the first punch. This Grizzly team hasn't faltered. And because they haven't faltered, then they're able to run them out of the gym. And I just think that I've said it. They got to figure out a way to incorporate Dwight Howard into a regular rotation on their basketball team. Or they haven't played DeAndre Jordan. One of those bigs has to be on the floor because you're asking people to do more than in every situation. Need small guys to rebound. I need smaller guys to defend bigger guys. You guys got to bring the physical brand of basketball. They're trying to play at a pace that is not conducive that their team can keep up with. It's not realistic for them to play. To me, if they're going to be a good team, slow down, put a big guy in the basketball game so he can rebound and outlet, and then less possessions in the game. Defensively, they're not good enough to have 90, 95 shots in the game. You're just not good enough to do that. And until somebody on their bench has the wherewithal to say, we have to change something. Like, this is like, they always say, you can't put a square peg in a circle and around. And that's what they keep trying to hammer home. Well, the NBA is playing fast, so we're going to play fast. Keep hammering this. Yo, it doesn't work for your
even,
team.
Even if you don't have the personnel, they're trying to do it anyway.
Because the thing is, everybody said, well, you got Russell Westbrook. Yeah, but Russell Westbrook, though, if you want to let him run, just take off and run. Yeah, but that's sometimes. You can't say now our whole team is just going to be take off and run, because the engine that makes you go, you're asking too much of him to do at this point in the year when you're going to need it in the latter part of the year. So I just believe that their style of play has to change in order to give them a true chance to be the championship contending team that everyone expected them to be.
I was a little surprised that it took Frank Vogel that long to get to Dwight Howard. I mean, I know that the Grizzlies were out Steven Adams, but at some point, put a big on the floor. Jaren Jackson Jr. is having his way. Now, he's going to get the better of Dwight Howard every once in a while, but every once in a while, Dwight Howard might foul him and block a shot and dissuade the Grizzlies from going to the front of the rim. I thought it was an oddly coached game, frankly, by Frank Vogel.
I think they have been an oddly coached team the entire year, where you eventually have to sit down and say, well, what is good for my team? That's why I went to the Chicago Bulls. I can turn on a Chicago Bulls game any day of the week. Why? They play to the strengths of their players. It's not what the NBA says, shoot threes or shoot layups. You know what? We got two guys that make mid-range shots. Hey, guys, do what you do well. And no, we don't have to worry about shooting threes every single time. This Lakers team has fallen in love with what today's basketball is supposed to look like over what your team is really built for.
Yeah, they're trying to jump in with the trends, but they don't have the players to pull that off. Speaking of players, here's a question that has come up. The Grizzlies, I mean, right now things are really rolling. The trade deadline is coming up. If you're the general manager, do you just roll with what you have right now, or are you looking at a trade target? Is there some way that you improve this team that has won a franchise record 9 in a row?
That's always the magical question at this time of the year. Do you feel comfortable enough that you have all of the pieces to continue to move you in a direction of winning a championship? And what we don't always know is the ins and outs of contracts. That becomes the biggest question because, yes, guys can help you win and move forward this season, but what does it look like for your team next year or 2 years down the road? How many guys are free agents? Can you re-sign? Will you just lose them at the end of the year? And should you try to maneuver some? But the flip of that is when you start taking away pieces, that takes away the fabric of the team in some way. And this new person that you insert all the time does not just work like that. And so for me, I love this team, the way that they're put together from a basketball standpoint. Take out the business side of it. From a basketball standpoint, I don't think this team has to do anything in terms of making themselves better to be able to compete and against the best teams right now. I don't think you have to do it. But there's a business side that says we may lose somebody because you can't pay everybody. That's the reality of this game is you can't pay. So there may have to be decisions made because of that. But I think if you're just talking pure basketball, I don't see them needing more than what they already have to be competitive, stay where they are in this fourth or move up and then be a monster of a team to have to beat in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. From a basketball standpoint, this team is spot on right now, and I would be very circumspect about bringing in another person.
Yes.
And pulling at a thread of this fabric of this basketball team where they are so closely interrelated and they are so much fun to watch and you see them cheer for each other. And
yes,
that's not the case. I talked with a longtime broadcaster with another team and he said, yeah, we were winning on the floor, but we had 12 guys and they would go in 12 different directions after the game. They did not
yes.
like one another. They would play well on the floor, but there was no cohesion off the floor. Final question.
Hey, Parker, listen to this real quick yep. before you go to this. You think about even when this team was on the roller coaster, wins, bad losses, why could they bounce back with a good win? Because they never stepped away from each other. It was like, oh, that was a bad loss. But no, we're going to win the next game. And somehow we would be like, how did we just lose by 20? And then come back out
yes.
the next day
yes.
and then win in this fashion. Why? It's because they defensively, they had to lock in better in terms of the execution had to be better. But the camaraderie never wavered through it all.
All right. Here's the final question for you. And this is a good one. We have been talking about the depth and the versatility of this basketball team mm-hmm. as being a particular strength. Question was asked on Twitter. What about the playoffs? Can you still play this way in the playoffs? Because the conventional wisdom is that your rotations get shorter in the playoffs. There are fewer possessions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can this versatility, is this something that you can use into the playoff run?
Yeah, it's definitely something you can use. There will still be games where you have shortened rotations. And there'll be games as we go through this regular season where there'll be shortened rotations. But everybody understands that when your name is called, you'll be ready to play. And I think that is why they can go into the playoffs with the mentality that we still have 12 to 15 guys that can play. Now, we may shorten to where the major minutes are for 8 or 9 guys. But you never know what circumstance. It's nice to be able to be able to play circumstance basketball, which is if we need to play big, play big. If you need to size down somewhat, you can size down. And you have the players that are capable of doing it. The roster and the playing minutes will definitely increase for the main guys, lessen for the others, but it doesn't take away from the versatility or the ability to look down the bench and whatever you need on that given night, Taylor Jenkins can pick that person and know that there'll be a positive outcome.
One of the benefits of this whole COVID situation, the Grizzlies And I think this is something that we really haven't talked about a whole lot, or at least not overtly. The Grizzlies win 9 in a row while COVID is tearing up the roster.
Yes.
I mean, now Utah, which hasn't had any positives, now they're finally getting hit. The Grizzlies have gone through probably their worst bout of COVID, where you've lost guys for significant periods of time, and it's allowed Taylor Jenkins to bring other guys into the lineup. Killian Tilly gets a start. Zaire Williams gets a start. John Conchar gets a start. And I think that's the benefit of what has happened here, is that you have discovered, or you have brought to light, the talents of others in under a brighter spotlight. And I think that now you know, really from game situation, exactly what you have with these guys. That it's not just mop-up duty for Killian Tilly. He started games. He's played big rotational minutes. And so that's something, too, that is remarkable about this team. They are playing their best basketball when they're in their most transitory with the lineups because of COVID.
And it's why I said it a month ago, that I thought that this was one of the best. This was a top five team in the NBA right now, because during this time of COVID, during the different lineups, during interim coaches, having made a large part of your coaching staff be out, they still go out and play basketball the same way. And that is a credit to the messaging that Taylor Jenkins and the staff has been able to get across to this team from day one to this point. But it's also a testament to how they've been able to adjust on the fly to what they have to do. Because I think they came into this year with grandeurs of being able to do X, Y, and Z. But once the season started, it was like, okay, but this is what we need to do for us to be good. And they have pushed those right buttons. So I think it's a credit to everyone. The roster being put together the way it was by the front office, Taylor Jenkins, the message being able to be heard by every player, and then these players continuing to keep themselves ready to go at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, it has all really, really come together. Brevin, thanks for the chat. We will see you at the building tomorrow when the Grizzlies take on the Golden State Warriors and start a four-game homestand. It's gonna be a big week for the Grizzlies because it starts a four-game homestand. Now you start with the Warriors and then you finish with the Bulls, which, you know, I don't know that the Bulls were a huge surprise because of all the pieces they added. The Grizzlies are, at least to the national way of thinking, a major surprise. And it ends on MLK Day, that homestand. So it's going to be a good week of Grizzlies basketball.
A lot of fun. Looking forward to it, partner.
Thanks to everybody who submitted questions. That was kind of fun, being able to take your questions and turn those around quickly and chat with Brevin about that. Always enjoy talking ball with Brevin. And we are looking forward to a big week of Grizzlies basketball. It will start on Tuesday night when the Grizzlies host the Golden State Warriors. Get your tickets, 901-888-HOOP or at grizzlies.com. That's a wrap for this edition of the Grizz Weekly Grind, a proud affiliate of the Basketball Podcast Network. I'm Pete Pranica. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.